Welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Whether you like to fish, enjoy talking about fishing, or just enjoy the fishing lifestyle, this is the podcast for you. So go grab yourself a cold drink or a hot cup of coffee, sit back, start tying up some fishing rigs, and enjoy the show.
Well, hello, folks, and welcome to the Dieter Mellhorn Fishing Podcast. Hope you're having a good day, whatever day it is that you happen to be listening to the show. If you're a regular listener, I appreciate you coming back and checking it out. I love having you guys back. I got some loyal following, a bunch of people that reach out to me, give me ideas and feedback. Any of you folks that are new, appreciate you stopping by, taking a few minutes to listen and check this podcast out. We're going to be talking about fishing on here. We're going to be talking in particularly about some big world record, huge giant catfish today. But yeah, I want to give you a thanks to all the new people and the regular listeners. Anybody wants to reach out to me, say hello. The easiest way to do it is go to my website, DieterMellhornFishing.com. There's a contact section on there. You can send me an email, give me some ideas, give me some feedback. I get a lot of ideas for a lot of the shows that I do here and on my YouTube channel from feedback I get from listeners. And there on my website, there's a link to the YouTube channel. There's a link to my gear. There's a link to the guide business that I run here in the Carolinas on the Catawba River Chain of Lakes. So all of it's down on the website, DieterMellhornFishing.com. There should be a link in the description of this podcast where you can go check it out. So anyway, thanks to all you guys. Yeah, what I was going to talk about today is a video that I did recently on YouTube, my YouTube channel. And it was like the, I think the title was the three best places to catch a 100-pound catfish. And anybody that fishes for catfish, really anybody that fishes, would love to catch a 100-pound catfish. I know I would. I've never caught one. My personal best, I think, is around 71 pounds. 100 pounds at triple digit century mark is it's a big deal. Everybody would love to catch them, but here's the deal, and this is what I talk about in the video. I'm gonna talk about it on the podcast. I can go a little more and elaborate a little bit more on some things and elaborate on why I picked the places that I picked, because I got some flack about the places that I picked. And listen, that's just the way I roll. Everything I put out, I'm going to get a little bit of flack about it, and that's cool. I love the discussion about stuff because it gets everybody thinking, including myself. But in the podcast, I basically picked three places that I think you have. The biggest criteria was the common average fisherman has a good chance of catching a 100-pound fish. Now, let me be perfectly clear about something. 100-pound fish are extremely rare. I don't care where you go, where you fish, they're rare. And, I mean, they're a tenth of a tenth of a percentage of the fish that are out there. So, there's not many of them. And let's just make sure everybody understands something else. Not every place is going to have a 100-pound fish. I don't care how long you let them live. I don't care how long old Joe sits down there underneath that tree. Not every fish is going to get to 100 pounds. So that's the thing that makes it even more challenging to catch one of these fish, is it has to cheat death in a lot of ways. Not only the death of a fillet knife, but disease, food, just being able to eat. Other predators, you know, it has a big part of its life where it's still a meal. It's still a potential meal. And a lot can happen in that time frame. And then once it gets bigger, there's other animals that can still live. I mean, if you're in a place that, you know, has, you know, some other species that may try to eat it, bears or alligators or whatever, there's all kinds of stuff there where some of this stuff can, you know, get eaten. So to get to 100 pounds, they have to live a while. Typically, generally speaking, you're talking about a fish that's at least 16, 17 years old. A bunch of the ones that have been aged in that age category, or, you know, some of these fish that have died and had the otolith extracted, they're in the 20, 22, 24. The oldest I've seen is 26, one that was actually aged. And what they have to do to age these fish, there's only one real way to do it, and you have to take the otolith, which is, for lack of a better term, the ear bone out of the fish. You cut it in half, and it's got rings just like a tree. Just like if you would cut a pine tree and you could see a ring annually. Every year, there's another one in there. So A lot of these big fish are released alive, so we don't really know how old they are. But some die. Some are caught by biologists, and they end up being aged, and they get an accurate age on them. And, you know, they have to live a long time first. Plus, they have to have... There has to be a good combination of genetics and food and just the temperament of the fish. And what I mean by that is you have to have this perfect combination. If you got a fish that's swimming all the time, he's just on the go, he's going to burn up a lot of calories and it's going to affect how big he can get. You know, a fish and that temperament too, maybe that he's just found him a place and he's going to sit there and he's going to eat every couple of days and he's going to be lazy and he's just going to grow more. That all plays a part in one of these fish getting to this size. So I say all this stuff to say, first of all, your odds of catching a fish that size are not good. But there are some places that have produced these fish and have somewhat consistently produced them. They're not if we caught a 100-pound catfish out of Lake Wylie, I would not tell you that is the place to go catch a 100-pound catfish. We never caught one that big. I doubt they're there. But just because one shows up doesn't mean it's a place to go. So the other thing is that I factored into this was, and this is the biggest thing, this is what threw a bunch of places out of the running, and that was the ease with which you could catch a 100-pound fish. I'll go ahead and tell you, the places I think I picked were the people that I was talking to. The James River was one of them. Kerr Lake, which is home to the world record blue catfish, and several fish over 130 pounds. One of the few reservoirs, arguably the only reservoir body of water that has produced multiple fish over 130 pounds. I don't know of any other place that has. And where was the other one we came up with? Steve Douglas mentioned the Tennessee River Basin. Some of the lakes in the Tennessee River. So, now some people were upset that the Mississippi River, Missouri River, those areas didn't make the cut. The other one was Wheeler. Down in Alabama, was that it was, they didn't make the cut, which Wheeler kind of falls into the Tennessee River kind of thing. So, you know, it wasn't specifically narrowed down to there, but the biggest one was the Mississippi. Got a lot of flack for that. And here's my argument with the Mississippi. The Mississippi River, for somebody who is not a seasoned catfish fisherman, somebody who is not into bottom bouncing, back bouncing, drift bouncing, controlled drifting, whatever you want to call it, is going to have a hard time, one, fishing those waters effectively for big fish, and actually catching and bringing a fish in of this size. It is a great fishery. There are some big fish there, but the odds of catching one and, you know, being able to fish that water effectively is not for the common angler. I would have a hard time going out there and fishing. I fish rivers with intermittent water flow, minimal water flow, less than 2 miles an hour. And I fish a lot of reservoirs. Totally different ball game. It's as different as those guys coming to a lake and fishing. It is that big of a just 180 degree turn. So, I say all this to say that waterway is a tough one for somebody to go fish. So that's why that one did not make the cut. The ones that did make it was Kerr Lake, of course. As I said, it's home to the world record blue catfish at 143 pounds. It's home to 141 pound catfish that Dale Lowe caught. He's in, his fish is discussed in that feature. In that video that I did, that's the largest catfish that's ever been caught in a fishing tournament. And these fish are all weighed on certified scales. Just this year in the Ice Bowl tournament in January, there was 112-pound fish caught and weighed in. And there have been a couple that have been caught that are around upper 120s. and I think two over 130 that had been caught up there and released alive. I think one was caught during one of their tournaments up there, and another one was caught by an angler out fishing. So, again, you don't expect to go up there and catch a pile of fish that are going to be 70, 80, 90 pounds because it's not that way. But that lake, part of it is, I guess, where it's at geographically is good. The size of the lake, it's a very, very big, massive lake. Part of it is it's not got a lot of attention in the past for being a catfish destination. And what I mean by that is Kerr Lake historically was known as a striper fishery, a good striper lake, bass fishing, crappie fishing, and people were fishing for blue catfish, but there wasn't a big focus on it. That started happening more and more as the popularity of catching big catfish increased, as the spread of information via the internet, Facebook pages, online, fishing forums, that kind of stuff. People started hearing about Kerr Lake more and more. Because traditionally, let's face it, the way information used to be spread about catching big catfish, you had to get an article in Field and Stream, Outdoor Life, in Fisherman, something like that. That's how word was spread back in the day before, the prevalence of this information on the internet. And that was a once-a-year deal, usually. And usually it was focused around the Mississippi because the Mississippi was, kind of the big focal point for, big catfish and catching catfish. But as, more and more people got on the internet, more and more fishing groups on the internet, people started to see there's some big catfish in some other places. And that's kind of where some of this popularity with Kerr came in. Kerr, another thing it has going for it, it's kind of off the beaten path. Some of these lakes that are close to places, Mississippi is, right there around Memphis and flows through, St. Louis. And there's large metropolitan areas. There's people around there. There's more people can be fishing them. Same thing with some of these lakes. You get, really where I'm at, the Catawba chain, we're right next to Charlotte, North Carolina. They get a lot of people on them, a lot of pressure. There's a lot more people around that can fish them. Kerr Lake is kind of out away from everything. So it's kind of in its own little place, so there's not as much fishing pressure as, a lake that's closer to a metro area. It's like with the James River, to a certain extent. James River is kind of in a more populated area. There's a lot more people that surround it. Now, to get to the ramps and some of the places, they're kind of out in the middle of nowhere, but you got a pretty big pool of people to draw from up in that area. And the James River was one of the ones that made the list. There's a lot of good fish come out of there. That's a totally different dynamic up there with what goes on with that fishery. It is a tidal river, which means it's near the coast. Tides influence it. It flows in two different directions. It will flow toward the ocean for 6 hours, and it'll turn around and flow back upstream for another six. So it's a different dynamic there that you're dealing with. And, you got varying water speeds throughout that. It's a different dynamic there. You've got a saltwater influence on the lower end of it. There is salinity. There is a level of salinity that comes into play. They've got a whole lot different food source there. It's not just shad. There are gizzard shad in there, but you get far enough down, these fish could be eating blue crabs. And one of the other saltwater, whatever other saltwater species come into that kind of mixed, salinity area there. So that's a whole different ballgame. A lot of big fish have been caught out of there. I personally don't think a world record will ever come out of there. I think the constant current is a deterrent to that, but with the amount of food that's there, and it seems like there is a good genetic strain of fish in there that can consistently produce 30, 40, 50, 70, 80, 90-pound fish out of there. So it was on the list of places that a big fish, 100-pound fish, could come from. And the other one was, again, the Tennessee River and that chain of lakes. And that's really what that is. Steve Douglas kind of addressed that. The Tennessee River is a river that runs down and then back up and eventually back over toward the Mississippi. But it's a chain of lakes on that river, and I think that creates a really interesting dynamic. The upper end lakes, not as much for producing big, big fish. But the further you get down, especially you get down toward Chickamauga, you know, you've got 100-pound fish in there. You've got a chance at catching a really big fish in there. There is current to a certain extent. The river sections below the dams probably, you know, have a more significant current. It is a water release type situation, like I fish here, to where they release water for, obviously, flood control. But once the lakes are stabilized, it's for, you know, power generation, and that will peak. It will ebb and flow depending on what is going on with electrical demand, whether it's really, really hot in the summer or really, really cold in the winter. So you get some fluctuations there. And these lakes are big, you know, riverine in nature, lots of steep, you know, bluffs, and they're big, and you can hide a lot of fish in there. Do get a lot of fishing pressure. It's no secret that Tennessee River and those chain of lakes have good fish. But I think Steve was right picking that one as one. The biggest thing with all of these, the James River is probably the one anomaly. It's probably harder to fish just because of the current. But the Kerr Lake, the Tennessee River, the Chain of Lakes, a lot easier for a casual fisherman, weekend angler, somebody who's fishing casually, not totally focused on it all the time. I think it's a lot easier for them to catch a really big fish in those areas. And that's kind of the way everything broke down. No offense to the Mississippi River. Good fish out there, big fish out there, but it's tough to fish. There's a good video that's up on Steve Douglas's, the catfish dude on YouTube, on his YouTube channel. He was fishing with Ryan Casey out there, and you watch what Ryan Casey is having to do with the bumping. It's a rod in your hand, constantly feeding line, maintaining the boat speed, trying to, you know, get the boat to float backwards at half the speed of the current. There's a lot to do. There's a finesse to that type of fishing. It's not just going out and, you know, doing, you know, fan casting some lines out around the boat, sitting down cooking hamburgers and waiting for a fish to bite. There's some work and skill, a different skill set involved in that. You need the right gear, obviously, but you also need, you know, a trolling motor and a battery system that is capable of running sometimes at a high speed continuously. So, you know, that's going to eliminate a lot of people from doing it. You're going to need a remote control for the trolling motor. You're going to need GPS. There's a lot that goes into it. Not that it can't be done, but I think it's going to be a more skilled angler, an angler that is more seasoned in fishing those waters that's going to be able to do that. And it's a skill set I don't have. I'd be lucky to catch a fish if I went out to the Mississippi. I've had people, man, you need to come out and fish the Mississippi River Monsters Tournament or whatever tournament they got. And while I'd love to go, if I'm going, I'm getting on somebody else's boat, because that is a way of fishing that is out of my wheelhouse. Don't know anything about it or know very little about it. And a tournament's not the place to go to try to figure it out. So not that you can't catch fish out there anchored. You can. It's just the whole drifting process, back bouncing, bottom bouncing that they do is a much more effective way to cover some water and figure out what's going on. But yeah, that was kind of my take on this whole where to catch a 100-pound fish. It's always fun to think about this stuff. And that's the reason I do some of these videos. It just gets you thinking, you know. There's people out there that they kind of live vicariously through and go fishing vicariously through some of these videos. So it's something to think about. And I'm sure I'll get to visit some more places that may spark some interest. Who knows? Maybe I'll get out there to the Mississippi sometime and get to try some of that bottom bouncing and change my mind and find out it's not as hard as I think. But based on what I've seen, it looks like it's pretty challenging. So, but yeah, keep that in mind on these big fish. Like I said, we all want to catch a big fish, but, and it's fun to dream about it, but it doesn't make or break you as a fisherman if you catch them or don't catch them, you know, a giant fish. I always keep moving the goalposts back. I always said I was going to get a replica made once I got to 60 pounds, and then I caught a 60-pounder. I was like, you know, maybe if I get a 70, you know, now I've caught one at 70, and now I'm kind of pushing the bar on back. if I keep doing it, it's going to get so expensive by the time that I finally decide I want one that it's going to be too big to where I can afford it. But yeah, it's that's half the fun. It's chasing the dream more than actually catching it. So keep fishing, enjoy the fishing, enjoy the chase, dream about the big one. But most of all, have fun in what you're doing. Share it with others if you can. That's one thing I'm blessed to be able to do, doing the guide trips with people. You get to take a lot of kids out, and that's really fun because while catching a monster is great, a lot of these kids just catching a fish is all they want. So that's awesome that you can do that. So you guys can do the same thing. You don't have to be a fishing guide to do that. There's plenty of people you can take. Take your own kids, take your neighbor's kids, take friends of your kids, whatever, and share it with the rest of the folks out there, because that's what gives us good stewards for the resource down the road. That's it for now, folks. We'll catch you out on the water.